Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, normally I preach this text at funerals, and I can't remember the last time I preached it in a church service, but it's a great text. The story goes like this: Lazarus became ill. Lazarus, you see, was a very close personal friend of Jesus's. But this did not make him immune to illness. When his condition worsens, his sisters, Martha and Mary, send word to Jesus saying, "Lord, the friend whom you love is ill." For they knew two things. They knew the Lord's power to heal and his affection for Lazarus. And they believed with all of their hearts that Jesus would come and heal their brother. Now, I don't think this was an unreasonable expectation, for the text says Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus. And yet, mysteriously, Jesus delays coming to his friend's bedside. In fact, Jesus stays 2 days longer where he was before he travels back to Bethany. So that by the time our Lord arrives, Lazarus has been in the tomb 4 days. The question I have is why? Why did Jesus delay? Why did he allow his friend to die when we all know he could have saved him? These kinds of questions really aren't unusual in our lives either. Sometimes we are tempted to question God when tragedy strikes our family or those we love. For there are times when God simply does things that don't make any sense to us, that are inexplicable and unexplainable. And for Martha and Mary, this was such a time. Mary and Martha loved Jesus, but they also could not help but to express their disappointment in him. You see, the sisters seemed to know that Jesus had enough advanced warning that he could have reached Bethany in time to save Lazarus if he had wanted. Martha and Mary may have been expressing faith in these words, but to me it sounds more like frustration when they both say, "Lord, if you had been here, our brother would not have died." This morning, perhaps we can unravel the mystery of why Jesus didn't immediately respond to a friend in need. After all, we have more knowledge of these events than Mary and Martha did, because we have the scripture which tells us the reason that Jesus delayed. But can you imagine how hurt and upset these sisters would have been if they had heard this explanation for why Jesus was slow in reaching Bethany? For earlier, Jesus would make a comment that on its surface would sound very callous. He would say to his disciples, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, so that you may believe." My feeling is that if Martha and Mary had heard Jesus say this thing, they would have been crushed beyond belief. For I think the only words they would have heard is, "Lazarus has died," and they would have heard Jesus saying, "And I'm glad I wasn't there." But my friends, we know Jesus was not callous at this event. In fact, as a true man, very often at funerals we preach how sympathetic Jesus is to the almost inconsolable grief of Mary. For when Mary comes to him, she falls and collapses at his feet, weeping. And the Gospel of John records that when Jesus sees Mary weeping along with the others, that he is deeply moved in his spirit and is greatly troubled, so much so that he begins to cry. This is a very sympathetic, a very human response to the overwhelming sadness of his friends, and I think it rules out the charge that he was callous. But if Jesus had such love for this family, if he possessed the infinite power to heal, the question remains, why did Jesus not heal his friend? I'd like to offer you an answer in the analogy of a game, the game of chess. Chess is a game that requires tremendous strategy. Chess requires a person to be able to think ahead, planning out his own future moves well in advance, anticipating all of his opponent's counter moves. In fact, a really good chess player can think at least 4 to 6 moves ahead of his opponent, while a novice chess player will concentrate only on capturing a single piece, focusing on taking maybe the opponent's rook or the queen, while the more experienced player will sacrifice these pieces if he can win the game and checkmate his opponent. I don't know if you've played chess, but it can be a pretty humbling game when you stop to consider how hard it is for a human to think even 4 or 5 moves ahead of another human. If that's true, consider how hard it must be to think ahead of God. And yet, like Martha and Mary, we often presume that we can do that. And so we challenge God's wisdom and we question his thinking. Sometimes when we go through a period of prolonged suffering or sadness. But unlike us, God has a vast intellect. And he has a divine foreknowledge so that he is able to handle trillions upon trillions of bits of information as he plans move after move after move. God's wisdom, as the scriptures say, is higher than ours. He is quite obviously able to understand these movements beyond our capacity. And at such times, we must simply cling to the fact that we are loved in Christ, and we must set aside any feelings that we might have, any emotions that would contradict or tell us otherwise. At the time of Lazarus's death, Jesus was playing a version of chess with the devil. Jesus was strategizing how to plan out to die on the cross while Satan was trying to prevent it. While it hurt Jesus to see his friend, Lazarus, temporarily taken in death, Jesus, you see, could see a bigger picture. He could see the end game. He could see far into the future. He would eventually resurrect his faithful friend. But he also had to consider his love and loyalty to all of you who are also his friends. For Lazarus' death, believe it or not, is linked to our resurrection. By waiting on Lazarus to die and then bringing him back from the dead, Jesus was performing his greatest miracle to date. And he performed that miracle just 2 miles from Jerusalem. That's how far Bethany was from Jerusalem. And just 6 days before the Jewish Passover, the one in which he would stand trial for the sins of humanity and be crucified. And it was this single event, the raising of Lazarus, that would start a kind of chain reaction of events that would lead to our Lord's own death and resurrection. And yes, ultimately, to your resurrection and life eternal. Again, in many ways, the moves Jesus makes before Holy Week kind of resemble the game of chess. Chess is a game of action and reaction. It is a game that sets off chain reaction. The chess player strategizes and he thinks to himself, now if I move my bishop to c6, I will put his king on e8 in check. But my bishop is protected by my pawn on b5. Then he will move his king to f7, and if I can't put him in check again, he'll move his rook down to a1, and then I'll have to sacrifice my queen that is on f1. That's the way a chess player talks and thinks. Martha and Mary were mortals, and they could only see their immediate love and concern for their brother, and nothing much beyond that. But like an expert chess player, Jesus could see further into the future. In fact, he could see all the way to the cross, and beyond that to the empty tomb at Easter, and beyond that to the resurrection of all flesh on the last day. And Jesus could see that the chain of events that Lazarus's resurrection would set off would set the plan of the cross in motion. These events would lead to his death and resurrection, and these events would also lead to your resurrection and your acquittal from sin. It's for this reason that Jesus tells his disciples, Lazarus' illness won't end in death. It will be for the glory of God, so the Son of Man will be glorified. You see, Jesus understood that raising Lazarus from the dead would cost Jesus his life. But Jesus also knew that his life must be sacrificed, for his was the only possible payment for sin. Jesus understood, too, that this would be the most glorious moment of his servanthood as the Savior, that he would give his life over to death in exchange for our release from the punishment of sin and death. And so, like a skilled chess player might sacrifice his queen, the most powerful piece on the board, to win the game, Jesus put himself into that position of sacrificing himself to win life and salvation for you. For as true God, Jesus had the foreknowledge that by raising Lazarus, it would set in motion the events that would lead to all of this. Here's how Jesus knew. Most of the miracles Jesus had performed, if you look in your Bible, he performed to the north of Jerusalem, in the northern part of Israel. And he knew that if he raised a man from the dead so close to Jerusalem and so close to the Passover that it would set off a frenzy of excitement among the population. In fact, it was this enthusiasm that was generated by Lazarus's resurrection that we see a few days later when Jesus enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. That's why the people were praising him, is because they had become believers as the direct result of Lazarus's resurrection. Jesus had calculated correctly that this miracle done so close to Jerusalem would literally send his opponents, God's enemies, over the edge. They would become insanely jealous in their hatred of Jesus. And some would go to the Pharisees and tell them what Jesus had done. And this, of course, would lead to a secret meeting of the Sanhedrin and hatch the plot to murder Jesus. Many of the temple leaders would lament that if Jesus were to perform another such miracle during the Passover, that they would lose their place of importance among the people. And Jesus would make their once prestigious leadership look irrelevant. And so the plot to kill Jesus was born. This is what Jesus meant when he said, Lazarus' illness will not lead to death, but it will glorify the Son of God. In the short time, no one can deny that Lazarus' illness did indeed lead to his death. But that was the short term. Jesus was thinking in the long term. In the long term, he knew that Lazarus' illness would lead to life, not death. And not just for Lazarus, but for all of us. It would have kind of a spiritual domino effect, because that resurrection would then in turn bring about Jesus' death and resurrection, which in turn has brought about your resurrection. And so in kind of a weird way, our resurrection is linked to the resurrection of Lazarus. If Mary and Martha had understood all of this complicated divine strategy involved in their brother's death, they would have glorified Jesus instead of questioning his sincerity of his love for their brother. But they just couldn't grasp this at the time. It's the same way with us. Sometimes, isn't it true that it's really only in hindsight that we can look back and see God's merciful intentions at work in our lives? It's really only in retrospect that we can see how God was working good out of evil in our lives. And that's why, my friends, you must cling to the love of God demonstrated on the cross. You must believe in that love, even when your emotions and your experience tell you differently. What Martha and Mary experienced at the death of their brother was the devil fighting to convince them that Jesus really didn't love them or care for them. But what was actually happening happened because Jesus loves and cares very much, not only for Lazarus, but for all of us whom he kindly considers his friends. You see, Jesus only asked Lazarus to experience a temporary death, but Jesus would go through an eternal death. He would lay down his life for his friends. It was a masterstroke of spiritual strategy that Jesus would make all the right moves that would take him to the cross, that would take away our sins, and that one day would take us to heaven. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.